Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel!
Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 19 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
Woo!
Alright, we have slightly below maximum capacity tonight. I'm joined by, as always, our leader, Redcaster.
Yo!
Mr. Blackcaster.
Heyo!
And Mr. and or Mrs. Pinkcaster.
Yay. Yes, Paul, unfortunately,
Paul had to go fight Metro Lynx again?
No. He's off finding himself.
Oh, he's on one of those self-discovery episodes?
Yeah, like, you know, like the Titanium Ranger.
Cool, then maybe he'll come back with a power-up.
Hopefully.
Alright. So today we're talking about Gaim episode 39 and Tokuger 22.
Yay.
Alright.
Both good episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Right.
Good.
Well, Tokuger was something, I'll give it that.
Oh, God. You know what the thumbnail's gonna be.
Yeah.
Gaburincho! Okay, we're gonna jump right into Gaim.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
And let's just fucking say Sentai order. Go ahead.
Alright. Well, in this episode, after last week's, Michi's officially batshit fucking nuts. And way the hell more powerful for it.
Yeah.
Apparently. So, yeah, he took Mai and dressed her up all pretty, as he knew he probably would.
Like, I'm just seeing this and I'm thinking, did he dress her, or did he get Redue to do it, or some monster of the week? Because that must have been creepy.
Offered her a chance to take a bath when she came out. Her clothing was gone, and that was the only thing left.
Yeah.
Something creepy like that, you know. He's evil.
And she is evil.
Yep. And that fun little moment, of course, where he's yelling at Ghost Takatora, and she's just standing there like, the hell is wrong with you, man?
Yeah. Like, at least when Redue was experiencing, he's like, well, isn't this just peculiar?
Well, this
but
is
then Mai's sitting there, who knows Michi, like, to the fullest of his extent, just going, the actual fuck?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Kona, any time now.
The best thing about him going nutso in front of Redue is just like, is he broken? Did I do it too soon?
Aw, I wanted to take a bit longer before I broke him sufficiently.
Giggity?
Yeah. Well, that was going to happen. yeah, pretty much in this episode, the other subplot is Kota decides to go with Ryoma. And Ryoma's little plot of, I know a back door into the Yggdrasil building. You want to save people in there. You need my help. Which, you know, apparently there's a fucking army shit in that entrance too, so I don't know why they didn't just bother going in the front door.
Well, that was actually the focus of the last few episodes. It was them trying to get in and finding that there was shit tons of invis at every entrance.
Yep. And there's still shit tons of invis.
No, but they weren't expecting him at this one.
Yeah. But, yep, they're going to keep going in, and everybody's going on, and Ryoma upgraded his driver.
Oh, sweet fucking Christ.
And Ichi was happy.
Yeah.
Because, oh, he fucking...
I think Dave actually, when we watched that episode, Dave actually turned to me and asked, does the toy do that? No!
What? Okay, so what exactly was the enhancement? The abilities that
it was the
went on to the Sonic Arrow?
It was the illusion when he did the squash, and when when he like twisted the notch on his bow, and it like expanded into a long bow and had like a super long stream back and forth across it and shot a more powerful arrow.
I was gonna say, I caught the bow thing where I was like, oh, that's new. But you're right, that whole illusion thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even put two and two together that was new.
Yeah.
I figured that just might
well,
have been
something. Well, to be fair, we've never seen him do a belt squat.
Right? Which is why I was just kind of like, all he did was use a Hisatsu.
We're meant to think that's new, but it could have always been there. Who knows?
Well, I like to think that because Ryoma developed this
system, he's allowed to
add any modifications he wants to his liking.
That's what he flat out said. He said he just finished tuning it up.
Yeah.
And that's the result. Nice on you, Ryoma.
Mm-hmm.
See, also,
just another reason he's awesome, because it's his system.
Yeah, he's my favorite villain in this show right now. Just because I love the scene where, like, they all come and it's like, huh, cracks all up in all the world. I wonder, like, I wonder why that happened. And the coach is like, oh, yeah, I wonder whose fault is that. Yeah, this happened, then this happened, this. It's my fault! I did this!
Literally, the way the speech went down was, well, the overlords opened cracks all over the world, and that was in response to the missile attacks, which was because they invaded Yggdrasil Tower. I've got it! It's all my fault! Just, see, Minato? It's all my fault!
Yeah, and I'm just like...
It was me.
Yeah.
It was me.
I'm just saying, no, I'm literally sitting there just like, you're awesome.
I love it!
It makes it
much easier to ignore the schoolboy clothes you're wearing.
Like, Ryoma's turned into, like, we thought he was just this really, you know, really smart, like, genius and stuff. Now he's just, like, a mad genius who's just, like, really, he's really self-absorbed in his own intelligence. Yeah. He's just like, I'm awesome! And I love that I'm fucking awesome
it's,
and crazy.
It's really interesting that we kind of get a peek into his psyche, which explains a lot of his character this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, give a shit about no one, and you'll lead a stress-free life, like I do. And in Kota denying that, he kind of is validating what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just it. I also like Lander's, like, just sort of his snarky, like, we said it time and time again, this Joker-esque-ness to him,
yeah.
Where despite all the turmoil and the shit going down, he's all, I know something you don't know, and just gallivanting around being a douche nozzle.
You need my help. I have nothing to lose.
And the fact that he just has this super mega ultra hard on for Kota.
It's just, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to die? Oh no. It's almost as if,
like,
that wouldn't happen anyway.
Like, the fight's going on or whatever like that, and you just see freaking Ryoma just with a camcorder,
recording.
And I was like, what are you doing? I have to fucking record all of this. This date is fucking amazing.
And then,
like,
later with the fucking thing again, watching,
like,
Kota and Kiwami arms.
While he's henching, using, like, some infrared thing on his helmet.
Yeah. I'm just like,
just watching Kiwami go, like, this is interesting, I need to see this. And of course, just that one moment there where freaking Kiwami arms just being nude. Just that one ability it used.
Where he telekinetically shoots like 5-6 weapons at him?
Fucking Gate of Babylon. As like, that I understand completely.
No, the best part of that is, and I didn't even notice it the first time I watched the episode, like, yeah, he like spawns the 5 weapons and then shoots them forward, and then after the explosion you see one Kurumi bomber drop out of the sky.
Yeah. And just, doing. I was like, really? That's what you made of the Kurumi bomber.
We need to look up if
to actually bomb.
We need to look up to see if they have Kurumi bomber sock'em boppers.
Oh my god.
Sock'em boppers is Kurumi bombers.
Because all of
the Toei, get on that shit.
All of the
Bandai.
All of the weapons post Daidaimaru, Banan Spear, and Budo Ryoho were all inflatable for the safety of the kids.
Yeah.
So Kurumi bombers.
Inflatable fists. Why not?
Sock'em boppers. Why not?
More Kurumi bombers. Kurumi bombers.
More fun than an invest fight.
Yes.
We just heard that commercial.
That thing, I just watched Kiwami Arms do it. I'm just, like, having Fate's Day Night flashbacks the entire time. Just Gate of Babylon and get fucked.
You bitch.
Anyways, that's about all.
There's also, what's his face from High School DxD? I am swords!
I think that's funnier to me without context.
Unlimited Blade Works, motherfucker.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Anyways, yeah.
Okay,
that's
well,
I'm gonna say.
Since you stole a couple of my points, I have a few more to add that David gave me.
Right?
First off, the best part of the episode, besides Duke's tune-ups, was just Kaito just putting Roman back in his fucking square. Like, he's being all playful and tactless, and it's like, ha, it's all my fault, ha, you should abandon them, those friends who tried to save you, because they're gonna die. And Kaito just fucking socks him in the face.
It's like, boom. It's like, you know, Kota, he's right. Then proceeds to punch him in the
face.
Does
a 180 and just socks him.
And if you ever do that again,
brace yourself.
I swear to God.
No, and then that just gives me flashbacks from the Dark Knight where just, like, Batman's threatening Joker, and Joker's just, like, or trying to, like, convince him to tell him, like, do something, and Joker's just like, you have nothing you can threaten me with. And I'm just like, that's how real it is. Like,
exactly.
He doesn't give a shit what you do to him.
He is the Joker.
He's just having fun. He's doing anything for his own interest.
Exactly.
That's why I fucking love Ryoma.
Alright, so, a couple of less hilarious points that Dave and I noticed while watching. A, there's this shot of, you know, the people who are, like, getting their life energy sucked out for Queen Beryl or whoever. And Dave made a stunning realization. Those machines are strapped to their mouths.
Yep.
They're breathing out into plant-based life forms. Yep. So they're planning to revive the queen by using
carbon dioxide
because plants.
Yep. Because plants.
I almost don't want to insult the writer and or the viewers to think that that's what's happening. They're very straightforward on the whole, no, we're sucking out life energy.
No one's died yet. If it happens, then sure. And the other thing, now, I have a theory on this, but there's a very valid argument. So, in a later episode, Michi takes Mai to Roshuo and pretty much bets humanity on her. And he's like, yeah, so if you think she's not worth saving, then humanity's done. But what they don't address is the fact that Mai's in Helheim without a belt, and there's fruit everywhere.
Yeah, there's that.
Now, my theory on this was Roshuo is so fucking OP that just being near him makes you immune to it.
He said my theory.
Yes.
Yeah. That's now the name of this episode.
Works for me.
My theory.
My theory, 101. It's like Community, where every episode is the name of a course.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was an important point that Dave brought to my attention. And as always, Coda starting in Orange Arms against the fucking Overlord is both hilarious and stupid and useless.
It's a trope. Leave it alone.
I know, but it bugs me.
But I feel like this, like I've said it.
I thought we were above this.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about this last episode. I thought we'd very well moved above it. I thought we'd very much kind of sat to the trope of the right tool for the right job. He's had no reason as of late to even attempt, unless it was, oh, hey, look, numpties. I'm going to beat them up by
exactly
what little means necessary.
Exactly.
Every single time within the last 10 episodes has been very, oh, fuck, it's that thing, this form.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for the episode, but I'm not going to say any specifics about the preview, but holy shit, things are getting serious.
Well, we're in the home stretch now, so I hope so.
We're reaching the 40s, so the thing we've all been talking about maybe happening is happening.
What does the thing go to? 49 or 50?
It's usually in the realm of 50, like with like a maybe a 4-episode.
Wizard was 53.
But that was, well, 54, but that's because two of the last two episodes was the special.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's usually either 50 or within 4 episodes of 50.
Okay.
Except for Decade.
Because this episode was, like, boring and exposition filled to the brim and left no room for anything exciting to happen.
Hey, I like that fight with Kiwami and Duke at the end.
That's
good.
Just it, though. That's like, we got a glimmer shining moment of a thing that would happen, but it's like we had to sit through a lot of nothing. It was a ton of nothing.
Well, the whole Four Rider Henshin was pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess. The one thing that really stuck out in my head because I just, Kamen Rider Gelider, he was my favorite weapon system. Kamen Rider Knuckle. It's interesting to see some in-depth, you know, information as to how this thing works. Because who have we seen use Suika prior?
Gaim and Baron.
And Gridon.
But that barely counts.
Okay, so being people that actually used the weaponry of Suika arms, aside from gyro mode, did Baron have the...
He had a Lance version.
Yeah. Oh, did he have a Lance?
Yeah, he did have the double blade.
Right! They did...
Gaim's got the Yojinto, Baron had, like, a Lance version of it.
Yeah, so then... it's gone into full detail that Suika Arms' weaponry is defined by who you are as a rider.
Or at least the last Loxied used. That was Dave's theory.
I don't like to think that far. If we've got belts that...
Well, the thing is, Knuckles is a mass-produced one, so there's no real rider identificator in it.
I suppose, but that doesn't explain his base armor. If it was a base armor issue, he'd have Kurokage's armor.
Yeah, that's what really throws a wrench into the whole theory.
Yeah, so that being said, we digress. Fucking watermelon boxing gloves.
Yep.
It's just Suika Arms with big, like, ethereal watermelons for fists.
Like energy watermelon fists.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome.
Like, I am perfectly okay with this. Go on.
And then he went on.
But it's just cool to see that, like, yes, now the weapon you receive while in Suika is dependent on, you know, who is using it. By whatever capacity it actually resides, but
yeah.
No, that's interesting. You, this guy. Slash girl, maybe, I don't know.
So yeah, I like this episode. A lot of cool shit happened, but honestly, one of my favorite parts was just seeing just Bravo and Gridiron just fucking holding the fort.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was actually like, I was watching the entire thing and I'm like, don't let them die so
Please.
No, I love Orin's funny, and I don't like Bravo's design at all. It's ugly, but
no. But the point of Bravo is the rugged ugliness of it is the point, which means it is a good design. I know I phrased that weird.
The point.
It's because his all undersuit is like a light green and then like that purple. But his helmet is the green that's on the Durian arms. So, like, it's fucking weird. I just don't understand.
But that's why him with the purple, silver, and green, that's why Budo arms look so amazing.
And Gridon's fucking...
Gridon just
fucking
thinks purple.
Awesome, because...
Let the record show that Lane is holding a picture of SH figure. That's Gridon.
Yeah, we purchased that. Oh, Angry Joe just went live on Twitch.
That's
great. Anyways.
Talk about hitting the nail on the head with the acorn hammer.
Bang! Yeah, I want to look
good. But you know what? With those guys, they'll probably survive that encounter. I mean, they're not going to get killed by a fucking bunch of numpties.
I fucking hope not.
If Urobuchi was going to kill them off, at least an Overlord would pop out and fucking murder them.
I just realized something, just kind of stray from the whole thing. If they bothered to make a deluxe...
Donkachi?
Yeah, Donkachi. It would probably be one of the most two-scale items released out of the series.
Yeah. You could dual-wield it with
it
the Doga
It is literally
hammer.
Gavel-sized.
Yeah.
To the point where... Yeah, nope, there's the thing.
Can that happen, please?
And I then, imagine like, the Donkachi's head
inflate,
would
they
be
made
a little
inflatable
smaller.
One.
You know, no, you
oh,
know,
is it inflatable?
You know what would be the best way for them to do that? If they released the DX Donkachi? Like, the actual, like, light acorn part that as you actually hit with, that would, like, press in so that when you hit something with it, it would make the bing!
Oh, I would buy it just for that feature.
I would buy it, too!
Bing, bing!
It's good, Nokuman!
Bandai, you better be listening!
While we're on the topic of people potentially dying, me and Paul were having this discussion earlier this week. We were talking about it, and we came to the conclusion that the way the series looks right now, Urobuchi's trying to kill people off, but Toei's not letting him.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of talk about Urobuchi being not happy with the direction he's getting.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We were both talking about it. We like to think he was making the most of what he had. He's like, come on, guys, I want to kill people. Well, it's a kid show. You shouldn't do that. I want to kill some... people. Well, you can't kill off the major characters. Can I kill some people off screen? Sure, nukes North America.
You didn't say I couldn't nuke a continent.
It was the most offhand in the background
in passing,
of a scene.
Like a news report.
It was on the news, on a TV, in the background of a shot. You barely noticed it happened. But it fucking happened.
Yeah. I'm surprised they even let Urobuchi get away with the fact that they crushed Sid with Between Two Walls?
That was like the most yes thing.
Yes, it went off camera when it happened, like, but it still happened.
It was like, okay, fine. None of the kids like Sid. You can kill Sid. Awesome.
Here's my thing. We're talking about Urobuchi's desire to kill being conflicted by Toei's pull. This is what, like, I've just been talking about this with various people all week in regards to Takatora, where it's just kind of like, we have this back and forth about, no, logic versus reason. No, I refuse.
No, you know what our thing on that is? The whole point was, Urobuchi's been trying to kill Takatora for a while now, and it's just like, oh my god, I just want to kill Takatora. Well, look, I knocked him off a cliff. Well, you gotta bring him back. Okay.
He's got to sit in front of the king and learn a bunch of shit.
No, it was just like, fine, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring him back. Brought him back, had his fight with Michi. I want to kill Takatora in this scene. Oh, well, you can't kill Takatora. I want to kill Takatora. It would make so much sense. Can't kill Takatora. Can I kill Takatora and then have him come back as a ghost haunting Michi for the rest of the show?
That way he's still around.
That way he's still in the show, but I got to kill him.
And that's fine because
sounds like an amazing compromise that probably happened.
A lot of people are telling me it's like, Takatora has served his purpose.
Yeah!
That is what I'm hearing.
And here's my yes and no about
that. And he
gains
a new purpose as the ghost specter haunting Michi.
But here's the thing.
So awesome.
I'd like to think that he had served his purpose as Takatora the Tyrant. I want to see Takatora developed as a character where he becomes the Takatora the born again, you know, anti-hero striving towards the good that he's believing he's been a part of all along.
That's exactly why I started liking him.
But here's what's happening. I'm not willing to concede to the fact that he's dead, but I'm also not going to deny the possibility.
Exactly.
The way I see it is, I will mourn at curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
When the show is done and he hasn't come back, I will be, oh god,
he really died!
Yeah, I was going to say, but he's the dead. Kevin, welcome to life.
Until they pull an Ankh and put a movie after the show where he actually comes back.
Isn't he in the summer movie?
Yes, but that's a different continuity.
Ultimate world.
Let's put it this way. In the movie, he and Michi stand next to each other and henchin together with everyone, and no one says a thing about it. So it's a completely different canon. In fact, episode 37 established concretely that this is an alternate canon.
And remember, you know, it's a peaceful world where they just use their rider systems to play soccer.
And then have an all-out brawl.
And then the movie happens.
And then have an all-out brawl anyway.
And then Mars comes and says, yo, I got the golden fruit. Come get it.
Come at me, bro.
But, so I thought this was a good episode. Like I said, Ryoma, I love how he is now. Like, when he first showed up, I'm just like, okay, he's just like, cool, he invented the Sengoku driver. Like, he's responsible for all this shit happening. And, you know, he's kind of cool, kind of a dick, though. But then he just comes back, like, after fucking off when, you know, shit went down, comes back and he's just, like, kind of a bit crazier than usual. And I'm just like, I don't know where you've been, but I like the end result.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now, and I hope I hope he stays that way.
Oh, probably.
And next week's preview, interesting things.
Oh, yeah. And now we have to wait an extra week for it.
So what we've seen so far, as far as the preview's gone,
I actually wouldn't spoil anything. There are people out there who don't watch
Let's
the
previews. Let's just say that thing that we've been theorizing is going to happen looks like it's pretty for sure gonna happen next week. I'm thinking it might be a dream sequence part of what we saw.
It wouldn't surprise me because it was that
moment where they were all behind him with hands on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, one of us. One of us.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, why? Oh, God, now we have to wait 2 weeks.
Yep. All right. I think that's pretty much it for Gaim.
Yep.
Okay.
For those of you who are interested in seeing more of Gen Urobuchi and what he did to let off some steam after Gaim, go watch Old Nova Zero, where he opens up the first episode by nuking the shit out of New Orleans.
He just likes nuking places.
Yeah, no, just colony drop on New Orleans. We're gonna open a show like this, you guys.
One of Roshua's missiles broke continuity and went into that show.
Yep. Yep. Anyways.
Reshu Sentai Tokyo.
Alright, boarding the express train on this week's episode. Actually, one comment I'm going to make before we started. I was actually thinking, when this episode started, you know what, Akira's cool, but Tokyo's starting to get monotonous again, and then, holy shit, this episode happened!
Yay, the wedding! Wait,
oh, my, did this episode happen.
The purple wedding? I can't tell if red wedding or purple wedding!
I know, right?
Okay, Raymond, start us off.
Oh, God, first and foremost, this episode is... Okay, let's put it... Okay, quick rundown of this episode. Gritta marries the Emperor. Gritta eats the Emperor.
The chicken... Like, Tokyuger, where chicken nuggets eat you!
She ate a fucking clone of General Schwartz before. I think she can fit Zed in her mouth.
Gabricho!
No.
Yeah, she can.
Do you know what though?
We are low, bro.
I should have seen this coming because this entire time I'm like, no, it's Noir. Noir's gonna be, or Nero. Nero's gonna be plotting to do something because he's pissed off that Zed's, you know.
No.
Noir's been in the background the whole time.
This is why I was starting to think Tokyuger was getting monotonous, because all the villains who we thought were interesting at the start started getting really stale. Noir's been plotting something. Nero's trying to get the Emperor to be dark. Schwartz can give fuck he wants trains. And then finally, everyone's motives start making some fucking progress.
Now it's like...
We finally see what Noir's plan was. Nero finally goes, oh, damn, I've been foiled! And Schwartz actually takes the trains!
And Schwartz is like, and now without the Emperor here, I can go do what I want because Gritta's not going to stop me.
She's actually scary now.
See, you know what the funny thing is? Based on Sentai, like, Toku tropes, I was totally expecting that once she'd, like, eaten and absorbed the Emperor, that she would become this, like, super Gritta form that was actually decent-looking. No, she's still the nugget.
Oh, but she just has red eyes now.
And her voice is
The red eyes, purple nugget dragon.
And her voice is
and she
matured.
She speaks properly now.
Same voice, but it's a little more composed.
Anyway,
beyond that little bad guy subplot, the Tokyugers has made some progress in remembering where the fuck they're from.
Yay, everybody progress.
Star Festival.
And then promptly got interrupted by, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah.
that was an episode. Schwartz shows up in force with his guys, takes over the fucking Tokyo.
Oh, it's okay. He took the stupid one.
Yeah, it's okay. He took the stupid-looking one. They still have Dieselo and Bill Dio.
Just thinking the train's taken. You can keep it.
No! With conductor and wagon.
And then using Tokyo fucking whoops their asses.
Like, he, like, completely learns how to pilot it immediately.
I'm sorry. He's had 21 episodes to watch them use it.
Fair enough.
He already knows what that thing can do.
But, like, the minute you see him use the crossing slash where, like, he stops them with a Kreiner and the crossing, I'm like, ah!
Here's my thing that I feel is actually incredibly brilliant about Akira and his simple mindset. If they stole Bill Dio, they'd be fucked.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, time to use the...
Which handle does what?
Where'd the computer go?
What the fuck are these handles?
The fuck are these handles hanging around?
And then,
here?
Like, Bill Dresher would start herping its derp again.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm just gonna clear the air on this. They're never gonna start saying Resha Gatai.
You mean never gonna start saying Resha Henke?
Either or, however you'd like to put it.
They were supposed to stop saying Resha Gatai. I know,
well, that's
I
what
know.
I mean. They're never going to.
I know, and it annoys me.
Reshagatai!
Bill Dio.
I'm trying my best to not pay attention to that because.
Yeah.
It's Tokyo. No, don't take it to
the
heart.
The best part for my, in my opinion, was when Schwartz got Tokyo. You just hear Ticket's voice, and he's just like,
"We are reluctantly completing transformation.
The doors are reluctantly opening." I'm just like,
I'm just imagining Schwartz with the sword pointed at Ticket. Say the line. Say it.
I feel sorry for
He didn't need to. The crows had guns on them the
whole time. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. I think it would be funnier that way.
I'm surprised that the conductor was able to call light and be like, "Hey, they're taking over the train!"
So, we're kind of under attack.
He's doing this while they're pushing him into the room and being like, "Yo, shut up." They're not trying to, like, take the phone away from him or something like that, but...
Yeah.
No, it's just, they took Tokyo, beat the fuck out of Bill Dio and Dieselo, and oh crap, Greta has her own fucking Griner.
And it's gorgeous!
It's actually not a bad design.
And then she wrecks their shit!
Yeah.
Yeah, that fucking shoulder cannon attack, god damn!
I can't wait for the inevitable moment when she shits Zed out minus his powers and he becomes Tokyo Zero.
Well, based on magazine scans, we actually know what's going to happen with him. He actually gets stronger. I won't say any more than
that. He's going to absorb her from the inside out.
Kind of. It's more like there's something inside her that he wants. Giggity.
He wants inside of her. And
that's what makes her so fat.
Oh god. No, it's...
You watch. He'll come out and she'll just, like, deflate and be kind of hot.
Zed wants inside of her, and she can fit Zed in her
I don't
mouth.
Think enough... there's not enough lipo in the world to make that hot.
Like, and we thought the boner jokes ended with Tokyo. No.
No.
They kept running that train.
They're just implying it here. Like, Zed wants it to be inside Greta. Greta can fit him in her mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one saw it coming.
What I thought was funny right at the start of this episode, just Baron Nero admitting to Zed, "Yeah, I attacked Greta. Was that wrong?" Yes!
Yay! Our daily weekly dose of Nero getting pushed back by Zed's fucking powers.
Yeah.
I love that. That never gets tired. Like, I never get tired of seeing that.
Weekly dose.
I did notice that during one scene, like, right before the Tokyuger's henshin, Akira's hat just seemed to disappear.
Well, he took it off.
Yeah. But he wasn't holding it wasn't on his back or anything, it was just gone.
He threw it off!
He rider passed that shit.
Belt space.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
He rider passed.
Fucking belt spaced it.
And yeah, and the other thing I thought was pretty funny was, like, when Dieselo and Bill Dio were trying to, like, fight back, like, Tokyo knocks them for a loop, and you just see Dieselo going flying, and it's somehow hilarious.
No, going back to Akira quickly taking off his hat, I think I hope they continuously make that a thing now, because we've seen now that he has his hat on his helmet when he transforms, so I hope they kind of just have,
you want
like,
him to keep pulling a skull?
So I hope he keeps just, like, having to take off his hard hat every time he transforms. Just for,
well,
like,
the actual henshin sequence shows him without the hat, so it's definitely not going to be a mainstay.
Yeah.
Maybe he, like, changes costumes and quits working on the rainbow line or
something. I want to see him wearing that full orange jacket and shit.
Yeah.
I think we've obviously seen him wear that. He always comes out wearing just this black...
Because it's the middle of summer right now.
True shit.
Yeah. And he's been working on the railroad.
All the livelong day. Hey,
why have we not made that joke earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah. Greta wearing the wedding dress was creepy.
She's just creepy.
Yeah, just creepy in general. General Schwartz.
Schwartz is Senate.
Schwartz, finish them off.
At least it's good to know, as of last episode, that he actually doesn't like her. Like, he betrayed her to Zed willingly, so we know that he actually doesn't like her.
Seal the trades.
Or he just doesn't... He was apologetic for it, but only because she explained her mother's plan to him. She did. You saw her doing that off. Yeah.
And also he did say, like, oh, you know, I must uphold my honor as a soldier and, you know, continue to... And that's my ambitions.
And then, despite knowing what was going to happen to Zed if that wedding took place, let it happen so he could further his own ambitions.
Yep.
He
straight up betrayed her to Zed so that she would get rid of Zed for him.
Schwartz is still my favorite villain so far.
That's actually not too bad. Schwartz, that was pretty fucking tricky.
No, Schwartz is cool. I like
Schwartz
Zed, though.
Schwartz is an absolute badass.
I love Zed.
Yeah.
Zed has cool components, but Zed is a big dum-dum.
Zed is an anomaly, in my opinion. But supposedly he comes back at some point, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty much me.
I think that's pretty much Tokyo.
That's pretty much it.
Quickly, so we saw a recent trailer for the Hyper Battle video.
I was going to mention that. Even Dave wants to watch
it's
this.
It's
going to
be fucking
that
awesome.
Actually, what the hell, you guys?
Okay, to start, the name of the Hyper Battle video, or rather it's the Telebeacon special because Hyper Battle is Rider.
Farewell to Ticket.
Yeah. So Ticket supposedly dies or fake dies, whatever. But the point is, we see more of Ticket Rokugo. So much so, in fact, that he gets his own little introduction sequence, like when they do Tokyo Ichigo.
Also, Schwartz has his own Ticket.
Like some evil little puppet, and then him and Akira wearing Ticket, like, have like a puppet battle or some shit. And supposedly it includes a translucent version of the Build Russia, which is gonna no doubt do some crazy amazing power up, just like the other Telebeacon specials.
Yeah,
do.
It's already been released.
Yeah, it's already, I think, it should be out already.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But yeah, they straight up do a proper, like, intro sequence for him, like the other Tokyugers. Ticket! Rokugo! And I'm like, I need that as a wallpaper!
Yep. I just can't wait for the fucking replica tickets to come out.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I'm getting one.
Expect photos of those when you show up.
Yep.
And I think that's about it.
Yeah. Overall, cool episode, I thought.
Yeah. But just like Gaim, this shit's getting serious.
Featured topic.
Okay. And now, for our feature topic, we're actually going to be talking briefly about a couple of things.
Yep.
First off, we've been seeing some scans and screenshots and blurry photos of the filming of the next Rider series, Kamen Rider Drive.
Yep.
So, we've seen a bit of what his car looks like, and apparently it's called the Trideron, and it basically looks like Lightning Cruiser from Turbo with more wheels on top of the spoiler.
Yep.
We don't know why they're there or what they do, but hopefully we'll find out soon.
I'm more excited for the friggin' Drive Driver.
Yes, they actually called it that. God,
first off,
damn it.
This belt looks like it's gonna be a lot of fucking fun to play
with. I'm still not 100% sure what it even is.
Fun to play with, not to eat?
Yeah. No, and they have confirmed that they are releasing a Drive Driver set that comes with, like, the Drive Driver, the shift brace, and then the car holder that holds his car that he uses to transform with.
They're going to call it, like, the something garage.
Oh, I think it's just called, like, the something set.
A car hole!
Something like that. But honestly, in my opinions for Drive, no, it's not going to be as good as Gaim. Nothing will be as good as Gaim.
That would be a hard mountain.
But for me personally, I feel like this is going to be a fun series like Forza was. It's just going to be, the plot's going to be shit, characters are going to be silly as fuck, but it's going to be fun.
You know what
please,
it is? Based on the motif.
Please don't kill it ahead of time by saying it's going to be like Forza.
No,
that is the worst thing.
You know what it is?
Say.
It's like Kamen Rider Neo Excel. The series.
I would laugh if Drive's played by Ryu's actor.
They wouldn't.
I would fucking die.
He becomes his own rider.
Me too.
Again! He becomes the main rider.
He becomes a main rider.
Why are you a car now? Don't question me.
It's Kamen Rider Turbo Ranger.
It's Kamen Rider, not Common Sense.
Also,
He's gonna shift into Turbo.
Hang on. I'm gonna bring up the... Bring up the scan picture, because there's, like, more, the article, at least. Because there's, like, more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so they've shown off, like, silhouettes of his different forms, and they've got, like, different motifs, like speed form and whatever else.
I think one's, like, a
something like that. There's some magazine scans.
And also, apparently the secondary rider is going to possibly be a villain rider.
Which would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most interesting parts of the scan that they've shown are Drive's main weaponry. So, he starts out with pretty much his own version of the Drive Blade,
it's
where it's
a freaking steering wheel sword.
It's literally just a steering wheel,
which worked out before.
Welcome to the Drive Blade from GoBusters.
No, it's not even that. Like, the Drive Blade, like, the wheel part of it folded out into the sword, and that was okay. But what this is literally a steering wheel attached to a thing, and then the sword juts out from the thing that the wheel is attached to. And then, even if you thought that was stupid, his fucking blaster sidearm looks like a car door.
Now that one might have been kind of smart design-wise. What else is the gun going to look like?
It's called the DX Handle Sword and the DX Door Gun.
my god! The door gun.
And, okay, it lists everything. So,
hold on.
Speed radar gun. You asked, there's your answer. A speed radar.
So the cars he uses to transform are called the shift cars, so that's the shift card holder.
Okay. I'm sorry, from where I'm sitting in this picture, a lot of those things over where the silhouette of the forms are, they look like Beyblades.
Oh, and of course, they're releasing a DX version of his car. So the DX...
I think those are like his emblems for his forms. Yeah.
There's...
I'm interested in what that purple thing is.
That green one kind of looks like the Overzeal logo.
Apparently that's wild form.
Okay.
So there's wild speed.
I see a Lockseed in one of the scans there.
Yeah, it's the Gaim shift car and the Drive Lockseed. I'm fucking excited for that set.
Oh, cool.
It's like the core set.
See, that's the thing that's really great about the Sengoku Driver toy system. It's the kind of system that allows for them to make any Lockseed they want forever, because the electronics of the individual Lockseed are in the seat, not the belt.
Which means I'll keep collecting them.
Yeah, you will. Insert picture of Lane's current Lockseed collection.
Oh,
it's going to require a panorama.
Yeah.
I'm curious by these scans in the bottom.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to try my best, because...
The cars in that scan look like Batmobiles.
I was thinking Kuriner, but...
Yeah, that's the secondary rider, apparently.
Yeah, okay.
So he... like I said, apparently he's supposed to be the villain. So, the second...
I'm on board.
So, the second rider, whose designation is Machine Chaser, which translates to Advanced Demon, if that doesn't sound villain, I don't know what is.
Wait, what's his name?
Machine Chaser.
Machine Chaser. That's the rider name? That is literally, you spell that in katakana and it just is Machine Chaser.
Oh, is it?
Fucking.
It says here Advanced Demon.
That's not with. I guess.
He is armed with the Brake Gunner and his shift cars are designated Chaser Viral Core. Oh, yeah. This has to be a villain rider.
I'm already interested by this guy. Fuck Drive.
That thing Ichi said.
That thing where it's pulling a Deno, where the secondary rider is going to be more interesting than the primary.
Well, okay, I mean, for fuck's sake, there's already a fire engine in a police car.
Yeah.
Or ambulance.
A rescue vehicle.
Yeah, I was like, okay, come on. It's like...
I can't even tell what the other ones are.
One looks like it would be piloted by Ryugen. It's like a purple-green car.
Something Joker would drive.
I was thinking the green one right there.
Durian, and then, I guess, Baron, and Zangetsu car.
Sure.
I gotta say, though, that door gun looks pretty sweet.
Okay, I don't know if it's confirmed. It may or may not have been, but they better fucking release one of Black RX's car.
Oh, they will.
If
they release, which I know they will.
You mean when they release?
When they release... Rider shift cars.
Gaim car. They're already there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So they will release Black RX's car.
Oh, shit. You know what they might do? They might release, like, rider cars of the rider vehicle, like the bikes. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be interesting.
If they make an Excel car, I'll.
Oh, my God. Just Excel in his bike form.
No, I was talking to Kevin about this earlier. I wish that they made an SH Figure Arts, like, excel in bike mode.
Or at least make the a figure that can transform.
No, I would have bought that and just have my Excel Figure Art ride himself.
Yes.
I just hope that this villain rider doesn't use the drive driver, because I think the drive driver looks fucking...
See, no, but like the thing is, like, I'm looking at it, and I can't even tell what it is.
It's the Forza driver.
It is.
I'm hoping that centerpiece with, like, the glowing red thing, I hope that fucking spins. That'll be cool. All I know is it has 10 LEDs.
It probably, like, lights up LEDs to match, make the emblems of a sword.
10 LEDs, it has infrared that does with the, like, shift bracer.
Yeah, it pairs up with the wristlet via, like, wireless somehow.
Mm-hmm. Infrared.
Yeah, infrared.
Yeah. So that's... I think, yeah, so like I said, this belt looks like it's going to be very interesting, and I think this series is just going to be fun overall.
I want to be open my... It's definitely going to be one of those, don't even ask for my money, Toei.
Yeah.
But I probably won't have qualms about watching.
Honestly, the final decision will be made if you guys want to watch Snut after the first, like, 10 episodes.
I just need to know who's right.
It's just like Gaim. After 3 episodes, we were all in.
I just need to know who's writing it. That's all.
That will be a huge factor.
It's not going to be Urabuchi.
No,
I don't need it to be.
He's too busy.
Villain Rider dies by getting run down by a car, by Drive's car.
Oh, God.
Dio comes out. Bitches.
Just even though the drive driver is so much fun, but I'm just getting it because it's called the fucking drive driver.
That's one reason
to get it.
I heard them confirm that, and I'm like, damn it, that's dumber than the blade, which I also.
That's
call.
Called no. That's called Toei being fucking funny. Yeah. That's just them being funny.
Yeah, hilarious.
They probably for years they're like, we need to make a Kamen Rider called Drive just so we can have a drive driver.
Yeah, they totally did that on purpose.
They've been thinking about this since decades.
I just hope they actually say the name of it in the show so we can just hear someone go, Drive Driver!
Oh dear.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, it's just, there's so many possibilities. But I'm just, the last thing I'm waiting for now is just the suit. We need to see the overall suit. I know it's going to be red as fuck, which is okay.
At least the main form.
Yeah, at least the main form will be. And I hope the other forms won't be too bad, because, like, the green one, I love green, but I have a feeling that if he has, like, a blue form, I'm going to like that, because I have a history with that. I love Kuga Dragon. I love Kiva Garulu.
Excel Trial.
Not Shadow.
G3X.
G3X. Like, I like blue riders.
Drake!
I like Drake.
Fuck no, Drake. That was the joke.
Yeah, I like blue or yellow attack. Riders.
Because you like attack, right?
I like attack, and it's not like Kagami.
I like Duke.
He's blue and yellow.
I know. Duke's cool.
I mentioned this on Gelider. Duke would be my favorite if it wasn't for the belt. If that belt wasn't red and ugly and a juicer, Duke would be my all-time
favorite.
You're
an ugly juicer.
Gross. Okay, moving along from that, some interesting recent news was that a couple of well-known tokusatsu actors are going to be starring in the Attack on Titan live-action film.
That's
not the least of which are Shu Watanabe, a.k.a. Kamen Rider Oz, and Misaki Ayame, a.k.a. Escape from Go Busters. So now I'm kind of really, really hoping that it's Watanabe playing Eren, because when he, like, jumps around doing all the 3D maneuver gear shit, I can add in metal sounds. Like, when he shoots the cord and starts jumping around, Unagi! And then when he draws the swords, Kamakiri!
Well, before you watch this movie, you gotta go catch him on the series.
I know.
I know it's gory as fuck, Ichi, but it's good.
It's not even that. Just the whole concept of it, I was never really interested in.
Which?
Attack on Titan.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen 3 episodes.
I don't know. I felt that got dry real quick.
See? Yeah. Anyway.
But, you know, that's my opinion. I also don't like Kill la Kill.
Well, I am liking Kill la Kill, but I have only seen about 9
episodes. Honestly, my only drive to keep watching Kill la Kill is to see who has this other half of her weapon. Who was responsible for her father's death?
Halfway through the show.
Halfway through, okay. And also, Mako.
I love Baka. Baka will be a fixture for the entire show.
Oh, so it's double all over again. Let's resolve the main conflict halfway through the show.
No, they don't. They introduce the character. It does not get
You know
resolved.
Why it's not double? Because the powerless female character in the show is actually interesting.
Umako?
Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. Right.
Powerless until she gets the frigging jacket.
For one episode.
Anyway.
Yes. One.
And shut up. Okay. For those interested, other stars listed on this are Hasegawa Hiroki from
Princess Jellyfish.
Princess Jellyfish. Mizuhara Kiko from Norwegian Wood and Helter Skelter. Hongo Kanata from Prince of Tennis and Nana 2. Miura Takahiro from the live-action Space Battleship Yamato.
That's a big one.
Sakuraba Nanami from Twin Spica.
Ooh, Twin Spica.
Matsuo Satoru from Therme Rome.
Yeah, that was a really good anime, and I hear the movie did wonderfully.
Ishihara Satomi from Sadako 3D.
So, you know, The Ring.
Yeah. Taki Pierre from something called Linda, Linda, Linda.
Really? Not a fucking clue.
Okay. Kunimura Jun from Kill Bill. And Takeda Rina from High Kick Girl.
Once again, live action.
Wait. I'm looking up who the actor is from Kill Bill. If it's who I think it is, that's cool.
Apparently, one of the script writers is Watanabe Yusuke, one of the men who wrote Dragon Ball Z, Battle of Gods.
Yay!
I mean, right alongside the, right alongside Toriyama.
Yeah.
So the guy that co-wrote Kami no Kami? Well, that was a pretty okay movie.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the guy's name?
From Kill Bill, Kunimura Jun.
Oh, Boss Tanaka. Okay. So he was probably one of those guys in the restaurant from that one scene.
Okay.
Okay.
Insightful.
Okay.
I thought it was Satori Hanzo.
Oh, buddy. Warning, the next segment is going to be a little bit Gaim spoilery.
Spoilery!
But it's fucking blown up everywhere.
Spoiler if you have your eyes closed and your fingers in your ears.
Kamen Rider Ryugen.
Yomotsu Hegari Arms.
Pretty much the evil
Ryugen's final form has been revealed.
Pretty much evil Kiwami.
Now, we don't yet have context.
Redway Arms.
Yeah, pretty much. We don't yet have context on why Michi's gone back to the Ryugen belt, but we all have our theories, which we won't get into yet.
Because
but
he gave him a fucking amazing
If the shoe fits.
Seat.
Yeah.
So, someone gave him a fucking amazing lock seed that doesn't work in the freaking Genesis driver.
See, here's David's theory on why he gets it. Oh. Or not necessarily why he gets it, but how. You know how there's lock seed fruit on Ridway's weapon?
Yep. Pick. No, that's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah.
She'll just
be like, pluck here, use this. I guess I have to switch back to Sengoku driver to use this, as it is not an energy lock seed.
Yep.
A lot of us are thinking that in the process of switching back to his belt that Koda's probably going to get his hands on Melon Energy and we'll finally get to see Jimba Melon.
I fucking hope so.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here going, holy shit, I'm finding Ryugen interesting. Design-wise.
Well, I already
love Ryugen's design.
I did not.
I was always somewhat
I think
interested.
Ryugen looks dumb. But I looked at that and I went, that's nice.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Plus, the lock seed itself just looks really cool.
I like that.
So, it's basically...
It looks like we're going to see a new seed plate combo.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied with that.
It does look like a weird combination between grape and kiwi.
That's what I said. So, basically...
It's the armor of kiwi and the... Or the armor of Budo and the head of kiwi.
Yeah. And so, basically, the idea with this lock seed is it actually says LS Yomi on it. And the name Yomotsu Hegari translates to eat with the damned.
Yeah, people are calling that the lock seed of death.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's basically the lock seed based on the overlords, because it's very similar to Redoue, which pretty much means that we were correct when we said that the overlords' bestial forms were analogous to the forms of the riders using the Sengoku driver.
Mm.
Because this is pretty much Redoue in rider form. He even uses her halberd as his, like, rider weapon from that lock seed.
Well, as far as I've seen from other pictures, is that Ryugen, like, this form, can use other overlord weapons.
It's Dark Kiwami. It uses overlord weapons.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it.
So he can fucking...
Which is why this gives me more to my theory that, like, Michi's endgame villain.
Well, it says an overlord-type weapon. I figured that was just referring to the halberd, but if he's got, like, Demushu's weapon and everyone else's, I am so on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just imagine Yomotsu Hegari using fucking Roshuo's broadsword.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. That
is going to happen.
Although I did see in a magazine scan Gaim Kiwami wielding Roshuo's broadsword.
Maybe he takes the swipes off him quickly and just goes...
I'd like to see that happen!
I'd like to see him try.
Well, no, I mean, Ryugen gets it, and then
Gaim steals it off him.
Just takes it off him quickly.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Using his Jedi Force powers.
Yeah, that he clearly now has.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Ryugen's final form, pretty awesome. We're all...
love that Lockseed.
Yeah, like, the Lockseed itself is like a twisted, darker version of the Budo Lockseed with, like, flame patterns on it.
Which I think is stupid, but that's lovely.
And like, the silver parts of the lock are now, like, a pale gold shade, and it's pretty awesome.
This thing's gonna sound so
mustard
fucking
yellow.
Yeah. I hope it has, like, a twisted, dark voice when it's just like, Yomotsu Hegari.
Yep.
Something like that.
And he's just gonna have the heightened Ryugen voice.
Yeah. Well, it's a different faceplate, but on the belt it will be still just the high.
The
it's funny, the whole show I was thinking, why aren't there more belts that use that sound? And now we have another one, which is really just the same one.
Yeah, because like I was saying to Ichi, like we were talking about it, because on the Flash app they have like custom plates for the Energy Riders.
Like, if they were to use Sengoku.
So, I told, like, Inichi was like, yeah, I don't like the Genesis Driver on Duke Zoro. I'm like, you know what? Find someone who can just make a custom sticker of that Duke plate, plast it over your Baron plate, put the 11 Energy Lock scene there, bam, there you go.
I need to do that. No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what you just described for the Duke plate, then I'm going to pair it with Silver Apple.
Oh, there you go.
Because Duke Silver Arms looks fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Like, that is my all-time favorite Gaim design, even though in the show it could never happen.
I'd probably get one from Monica.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, that's basically our spiel on a couple of different topics. I hope everyone enjoyed that.
Next week, shit's going down!
Well, not next week, but the week after.
Well, the week after, yeah.
Next week, since there's a break in the shows, Lane, Dave, and I are actually going to be talking about the Kyoryuger 100 Years Later movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because me, Ransack, and Paul want absolutely nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Well, because they haven't
watched...
We're going to
be three-man Sentai for that week.
They haven't watched Kyoryuger, and they have
exactly.
no interest in it.
We didn't watch Kyoryuger. We have not a f***ing clue going into it.
Neither has Dave, but he's still willing to watch it.
Because Dave's weird.
Which is actually probably going to motivate me for...
Oh, watch. He's going to hear this part, and then
you,
walk...
Dave.
He's going to hear this part, then just... Pause it, walk out, and slap you.
Which is probably why it's going to motivate me, because I didn't finish Kyoryuger yet, just because I kind of lost interest in it after a bit.
What
but
episode
I'm just,
are you on?
37.
Okay, so you're over the
so
halfway
I'm,
mark.
Yeah, so I'm just going to...
You could probably clear the show in the next week or two.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to do that just in time so I can get, you know, clarification fully...
Although I will tell you that the start of the movie says...
Shows the ending, yeah.
Shows the end of the show.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, huh... Good thing it only showed scenes and no dialogue, so I don't exactly know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
But obviously they win because the Sentai always wins.
I think that's interesting, though. Just once, like, get someone like Urobuchi to write a Sentai where they lose in the end.
Oh, God. Just fucking make, like, an art like they did with RPM, which is like a post-apocalyptic world, but with Sentai. Like, imagine how fucking awesome that would be.
Just gonna...
They did it with Power Rangers.
Just gonna put this out there. Speaking of Sentai where they didn't win, technically Saban managed that long before...
Absolutely, which is
like,
why...
Saban pulled that.
Pretty much that was every Power Rangers up until In Space.
Not really... Zio kind of ended on a triumphant note. It was just kind of the movie kind of transition.
Okay, we'll say that Zio failed because the Turbo movie.
Wow.
Zio, no, because apparently car powers are more powerful than the Zio crystal.
Which makes no sense even.
Because the Zio
own
crystal
context.
Gets more powerful as it's been used.
I don't know.
Power. Anyways.
Because traffic safety.
Yeah, traffic safety.
Okay, so join us next week for that. In the meantime, thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
As always, you can subscribe to us on our Podbean website or on iTunes. And eventually these will be on YouTube. thanks for watching. So don't forget to share the video, the podcast with other Tokusatsu fans, and leave some comments. I really want to hear what you guys have to say about the show.
Comment, bitches. We love you.
Comment ride.
Yes.
Do it.
Ride. Do it.
Do it.
Bye. Bye.